This ASAP video is brought to you by Team Builder, the online strength and conditioning platform for coaches and their athletes. This is Ed Sicali with Athletic Strength and Power Podcasts. Today I'm just outside of Nashville, Tennessee. I'm down at the Battleground Academy Hammer Strength Training Clinic, and the first speaker today, it kicked off with, of course, Al Johnson. He was the first speaker here today, and Al, welcome back to our podcast. We've had you here before.
Thanks, Ed. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you and share some thoughts.
Now, Al, you've had a really cool career. I mean, I've seen you down at West Virginia. I've seen at Ohio State. You've 14, 15 years ago, I was in Tempe, Arizona, and you were there with the Buckeyes winning a national championship. Now you're back at it again, and you're rebuilding a program at East Tennessee State University. Gosh, that's got to be cool. And you sound like you still got pumped up. You sound like you're pumped up like a 26-year-old.
I tell you what, I don't. It's hard to believe. You know, I'm in my 32nd year, Ed, and I tell you what, I have more passion for what I do now than I ever have. And I tell you what, maybe it's the thought of, you know, East Tennessee State dropped football here 13 years ago. And so we restarted this past fall, and the opportunity and the challenges to become here and be part of this program was such that I left Northwestern to come here, and closer to home, I'm from West Virginia, but I thought, man, you know what, I think you want to leave it a better place than you found it, but you want to try to have impact. And I thought, you know what, hey, it doesn't get any better than this to have, you know, 18, 19-year-olds, and you're creating a culture.
Yeah, because you've had some cool stories. I mean, I knew you were with the Orioles, but I didn't know you actually got tossed out of a game.
Well, that's not something I'm real proud to share with people, but but my first year in 1989, I was with the Orioles, and, you know, I came from the hills of West Virginia, and we were playing the Kansas City Royals. It was July, and, you know, it was the first of 25 rainouts I was involved with in 4 years. And I don't know if you know baseball, you know, rainouts are the most boring part of the game. But, you know, we had a hitter at the plate by the name of Billy Ripken, Cal Ripken's brother, second baseman. So anyway, So he gets called on, third strike, check swing. And his dad, Cal Ripken Sr., is a third base coach. And so, guys had said, when Cal Ripken Sr., when the dad gets fired up, watch the veins in his neck. He was about 5'9", he's about 160 pounds, and the veins pop in his neck like a bandy rooster. And so anyway, so I've never seen it since then or before then, third base coach, Cal Ripken Sr. runs down the third baseline. He's running towards the home plate umpire to argue about the third called strike on his son, Billy, who just got struck out. And saying, well, this is going on in our dugout. We're on a third base side. We're in Kansas City. And guys are yelling, and they're yelling, you know, say how many kids you have playing in the Kansas City Royals organization. And they're ranting and raving. And the third base umpire, he turns. He's looking at our dugout. He points. And, of course, he's not pointing to me. I can tell you that honestly. He points in a dugout. Says, you, 24, you're out of the game. Well, he's the guy sitting beside me. This guy by the name of Mickey Weston. And he was a journeyman pitcher, great kid. And so he was injured. And so he was there, but he wasn't really there. And so, anyway, he kicks him out of the game, and Mickey's walking down through the dugout. And Frank Robinson, our manager, is at home plate. He's arguing, and he's talking to home plate umpire, and he's trying to keep Cal Sr. away from the umpire because he's spitting tobacco juice on the umpire. And so while this is going on, Mickey starts to head down to the end of the dugout to get back in the clubhouse because he's been thrown out of the game. And so anyway, Frank, meanwhile, the home plate umpire says, hey, 24, Weston, sit down. He goes, you. And he's pointing down the dugout, and I'm thinking, okay, he's not pointing to me. He goes, you, Johnson, you're out of the game. And I'm like, what? I got my hands out to the side. And so I'm like, what are you talking about? So Weston sits down. I go down through the dugout. I got my hands out to the side. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, shut your mouth and get back in the clubhouse. You've been kicked out of the game. So I go back, and I'm with Cal Ripken Sr. And so inning later, and I'm back here, phone rings. Clubhouse guy says, hey, Al. He says, it's your general manager from Baltimore, Roland Heeman. He's calling you from back in Baltimore. He wants to ask you what happened. How'd you get kicked out of the game? What did you say? And so I get on the phone, and it's the general manager, Roland. He goes, what happened? I said, Mr. Heeman, I didn't say anything, Roland. I didn't say a word. He goes, well, you guys are back in Baltimore in 2 days. He goes, I want you to come up into the warehouse, and we'll talk about this. I said, yes, sir. So I thought, well, I'm getting canned. I'm getting fired. And so anyway, there's a rain delay. So then the team comes back out of the dugout, back into the clubhouse. And there's me and Cal Sr. watching the game on ESPN on TV. And Frank Robinson, he goes, AJ. He goes, man, that's unbelievable. He goes, is your old job open back at WVU? He goes, you just embarrassed the organization and our whole team. He goes, you didn't even fight. He goes, you took it, and you let the guy kick you out of the game. And so he said, that's unbelievable. So they're ribbing me. I'm like, oh, wow. I've only been 3 months. I get kicked out of a game. I'm thinking everybody's busting my chops. So anyway, that night, finish the story, go back to the hotel. The red light's on my phone in the hotel room. So I'm thinking, okay, is it my wife or is it my mother saying, hey, you're the dumbest of seven kids? You know, so I get the message, and there's a voice here that says, this is Bud Selig, Commissioner of Major League Baseball. I understand you've been kicked out of the Major League Baseball game tonight in Kansas City. And he goes, I'll be in touch with your manager, your owner, and your traveling secretary regarding your fine and possible suspension from the Orioles dugout. So I'm like, oh, my gosh. So you need to say, you know how well I slept? Not much. So anyway, the next day we have a getaway day in Kansas City, getting ready to leave Kansas City. We have an early game. So I go in there. So I go in the clubhouse, and there's guys over in the corner looking. They're together talking. They're pointing at me, and they're laughing. The guy's over here. So finally, Cal Ripken Jr., he comes up to me. He goes, how'd you sleep last night? I said, not well. He goes, I want to tell you. He goes, you got punked. I go, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, Frank Robinson went to the home plate umpire. He goes, hey, throw my strength coach out. It's the fourth inning. He got no function. He ain't going to play. All he's going to do is warm up guys out of the pen or players are going to DH or pinch hit. Throw him out of the game. Weston's coming off the DL tomorrow. He's pitching tomorrow. Throw him out. And I said, what? He says, you know, you're probably still going to get fined. I said, for what? He goes, well, you got kicked out of the game. So end of the story is I go back to Baltimore 2 weeks later. The manager comes in. He's got Cal Ripken Jr., Kurt Schilling, Mike Messina, comes in, and he says, here's your letter from the commissioner of baseball. You open it up. We want to see what it says. So I open it up, and it's a letter from Commissioner Bud Selig. He said, you've been fined $1,000, and there will be no suspension this time. The next time, you'll be suspended from the dugout for a month. And so anyway, So they lay it down there. They turn and walk away. They said, are you going to keep your mouth shut from now on? I said, yeah, I didn't say anything the first time. So they come in, and Cal Jr. has got an envelope in his back of his pocket, Ed. And he lays the envelope down on the table. He says, and he pushes across my desk. He says, we got this one. We'll pick you up on this one. The next one's on you. And so they picked up the $1,000 fine. And
that's so
they
awesome.
paid for it. And I mean, this thing, but found out the fact, I was made a scapegoat because, hey, you know, Frank never admitted it, but they said that he said, hey, you can't throw Johnson. You can throw Johnson out. Don't throw Weston out.
And Cal Ripken, the Iron Man in baseball.
He come to my rescue.
Rescued yes, an Iron Man, ironically,
yes,
you,
no
man.
Question,
that's
no
cool.
Question, no question.
That's cool. And then, of course, Ohio State, you won a national championship yes, there and with Coach Tressel. And then down in Tennessee, we're wishing you the best. What's going on? You talked about, if you can leave us with a few things that you talked about, some of those motivational mm-hmm. things that you mm-hmm. that you did such a great job on with your talk. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the things you do there?
I tell you what's fun. I tell you what, I don't have a job. It's a passion. The kids I've got are unbelievable. And I tell you what's needed with starting something from the ground up, kids don't know what they don't know.
Uh-huh.
You know, and teaching them and grooming them and teaching them and but building confidence, you know, and like I talked about, motivating them to think, hey, we can overcome, we can achieve, we've got to stick together. Hey, we're not good enough yet. We need more effort. You know, you got to bring your A game every day. And so with those things, I mean, you know, but also, you know, the thing, I think this time around as a coach, I'm starting to feel and understand this group I'm working with. I mean, we're in 2016. This group needs, the kids today need more confidence. They need more positive reinforcement. They're more sensitive now than they've ever been. And I think with that, I'm not saying you pat them on the back just to pat them on the back, but mm-hmm. they don't respond to a lot of yelling, screaming, ripping them, whatever. And don't get me wrong, you get after them.
Yeah.
But then you tell them, hey, this is why we're doing this. You know, you didn't give me your best effort today. You got to bring your A game. We're not good enough for you to just show up. We're not good enough to show up. We have to play hard. And we have to work hard. And so with that, the kids have bought in. You know, we're moving in the right direction. I got an unbelievable head coach, Carl Torbush. You know, he was at North Carolina for 9 years. He's been all through the Big 12, Mississippi, Kansas, the SEC with Alabama. I mean, he's been all over the country. But unbelievable coach. But he gets it. He gets it.
So you guys got a staff that can do this kind of a program that you're doing. You're doing a program that banished football from their whole program for,
2002, 13 years.
13 years, yep. And then now it's from the ground up again.
It's from the ground up, and you know, we didn't have a stadium. Like, they played in the dome, the mini-dome mm-hmm. on the campus of Tennessee State. Seats about 18,000 people. Well, they decided when they brought back football, we're not playing that dome again. That's how the program ended. So what we're doing, we're playing in a temporary stadium right off campus. We're building a brand new stadium. It's going to be done in 2017.
Awesome.
But I've seen an evolution from 14. I was there in the fall of 14 when I first got there from Northwestern, 14 to 15, now 15 to 16. I'm seeing a evolution of improvement in terms of better recruits. You know, kids working hard, seeing a change in their bodies, seeing a change in their, you know, positive attitude and working hard and straining.
Well, that's really cool, Coach. Really appreciate you spending some time with us. It just seems like you've still got, you know, the juice of what it takes to be running a program like you are. And, you know, it's really cool to see. It's exciting to see that you still got it.
Well, there's no question. You know what? You can't let time, you can't let duration, you can't let it define you. You know, don't let time, don't let age, don't let experience define you, because every day, every next day is a new experience, but it's how you attack that day. You know, and I've got, you know, like I said, an unbelievable situation. I got great support. I mean, Coach Torbush lets me do what I want to do, doesn't micromanage what we do, and is so supportive and sells. Like I'm talking about, you know, we're only as good as the people around us that sell us and sell what we do. So what happens, you know, we're building a program, but I think in the ultimate picture of what we're, scheme of things we're trying to do, we're creating a discipleship. And so what I'm doing is trying to say, okay, when these kids get 2 years older, 3 years older, now I'm starting to see they're starting to lead that 18-year-old kid coming in. And, hey, these are expectations. This is what Coach Johnson wants. And all of a sudden now you're a little less hands-on at times because you're giving these kids a chance to lead. And so what happens, it's evolving. And, you know, some of the best teams and some of the best programs I've been affiliated with, been blessed to be part of, is the kids got to the point where, you know, they took ownership of the team. You know, not saying you didn't run the program, you didn't hold them accountable, all those things, but they took more ownership. And we found that the kids were more successful, our team were more successful, if they took more ownership and felt like, hey, this is part of your team. You know, we do so many crazy things. I have Easter egg hunts, we do home run derby, we do blind dodgeball. We have a basketball draft where we'll pick 10 captains and they'll come in, we'll put all the names on the board, Ed, and they'll draft their teams. And they'll come in two-piece suits, bow ties, you know, gold chains and, you know, sunglasses and fake cigars and like their GMs and their coaches.
College
draft,
fun stuff.
And they'll draft.
Yeah.
I mean, just the, you know, the things are so minute that sometimes we just become oblivious to and we forget about.
That's really cool. I'll tell you what, you know, if there's something that you can think of that, I mean, because you've got a lot to share with you. What's a couple of little tidbits of knowledge that you can, you know, that help you through the grind every day?
When you stop learning, you're done. When you stop learning, you're done. When you think you've cornered the market and I got all the answers, you're done. And I think that, you know, when you come to work every day in our program, you're not only controlling your attitude and your outlook on the day. There's other people, there's GAs, there's assistants, there's football coaches, there's football team members that are looking at you. And so all of a sudden they say, Coach, man, you're not bringing it the way you did. You know, or man, it's not the same. You know, and I want them to be able to say, you know, and the young coaches need to think about this. You know, I want them to say, man, I didn't get cheated. And I'll tell our kids, I'll kid them all the time. I'll say, you know what? You know, they'll say, Coach, man, this is hard. I'm saying, you know what? It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, you should be someplace else. But the other thing, you know, I don't want you to cancel your subscription here to Bally Fitness. You know, I want to keep you for another year. I want to re-up you. I want you to stay here. I want you to believe in working out here. And so I use that analogy. I'm like, Can I sign you up for 6 more months of this rigorous, hard training and mental toughness? I mean, are you willing to participate? And they'll say, Coach, I'm in. But I use all kind of analogies and tricks of the mind, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, before you go, now you started this program. Did you? I mean, do you have any juniors and seniors, or how's it end up?
I mean, we got two kids. One kid was already in school there, tried out 3 times to make the football team. A local kid made the team last year as a receiver, pretty good, is going to play for us and contribute. Another kid is a junior cons kid we brought in last year as a junior safety or junior corner. He started for us last year, going to start this year and graduate. So we're going to have two seniors on our football team. Wow. I mean, so we're starting from, you know, from ground zero. And the thing is, I can tell you, with this juncture and where I'm at, I have to be a better coach. I have to be a better teacher. You know, I have to teach them. You know, just because, like, and I don't know if you're in there, we're talking about we have a PR bell. And we got this big bell, and they got the rope. I mean, I assumed they could pull the bell, the rope, and ring the bell. They didn't know how to ring the bell. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know what? That's my fault because I assumed. You can't assume nothing. And so I took them over there and said, you know, bell ringing 101. I said, here, grab the rope. I want to show you. I'll show you. I said, that's my fault. I'm a bad coach today. I'm a bad coach right now. I'm doing some bad coaching right now. I want to let you know. I'm going to be honest with you. And so you pull it. You don't yank it and let it get stuck in the top. So I showed them how to ring. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, so the next 15 guys that set PRs, guess what? They're ringing it the right way. But we assume they can ring the bell. But see, the thing I'm telling you is when the bell rings, strength coaches, personal trainers, whatever walk of life, when the bell rings, be ready.
Coach Al Johnson, head strength and conditioning coach at East Tennessee State University. I'll tell you what, those Buccaneers down there, they're a lucky bunch because they've got a great coach working with them. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, Ed.